Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome Mr. Clark to Eastside. We've heard so much about you, and tell you what we have done in anticipation of your arrival. Ms. Levias, your other vice principal, and I have appointed an executive committee to oversee certain areas where we have noted a need for improvement. Mr. Zarella, for example...
You may sit down, Mr. O'Malley. Think you can run this school? If you could, then I wouldn't be here, would I? No one talks in my meeting. No one! You take out your pencils and write. I want the names of every hoodlum, drug dealer, and miscreant who's done nothing but take this place apart on my desk by noon today. Reverend Slappy.
Yes, sir.
You are now the chief custodian, Reverend Slappy. You will scour this building clean. Graffiti goes up, it's off the next day. Is that clear?
Yes, sir, the very next day.
Detention students can help you. Let them scrub this place for a while. And tear down those cages in the cafeteria. You treat them like animals, that's exactly how they'll behave.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to issue this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lot of...
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Yes, it is I, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Once again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Radio featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Listen, this is going to be a 90-minute rarity. As of late, we've been having these one-hour shows. And the irony is that we are expecting a Ms. Maria King, who is a fitness enthusiast, and I have forsaken going to the gym to speak to a fitness enthusiast. So there's got to be some irony in that, in this deal. But anyway, I had to speak to Ms. King because of her treatment regarding a Facebook scenario and regarding her philosophy. She's basically telling folks that if you're obese, you might want to try to work out. If you've gone through pregnancies, you may want to try to work out to get a physically fit and healthy body. Why is this controversial? I don't know. But I had to speak to her because it's all about political correctness, folks. Political correctness. So we should be expecting Ms. King momentarily. Meanwhile, let's go to an urban alt groove. This is RC and the Grits. Leave Me Alone with a friend, Erykah Badu. We'll be back in a few moments, and again, let's groove. Okay, enough of that. Once again, that was Erykah Badu, RC and the Grits. Leave me alone. Folks, this is the Midweek in Review show, Afro Radio. I could not do the show, as you all know, without my partner in White Collar Crime. He is the captain. Captain, you're needed at engineering and in the ready room. Somehow, we need you in both rooms. Let's get to it. The captain. Captain Kirk.
Space.
All right.
The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Let's get rid of all of these fat heifers and these walking pigs.
That's right, I said it. Too bad. That's the captain that said it. Let's go. Let's get the show started.
let's not. You're making me lose my composure, Captain. Let's try to keep this a cordial conversation. We have to feel sorry for these folks that are weight challenged, don't we?
Hey, no. Okay, we can feel sorry, but you can lose weight, all right? Less is better in this situation. Maybe not everybody can have a perfect body, but less is better. Come on, less is better. The walking pig mentality that we have here in the States, it needs to stop. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Well, now, I believe our guest is waiting in advance, so I'm looking out our virtual window. I think Ms. Kang is actually out there. I will say this, Captain. You can speak this way because you are physically fit. I mean,
there we go.
I'm... Okay. Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I'm okay.
There we go.
Okay. So we'll get into this. We'll get into it. We will get into it. All right. Again, I think we have a visitor, Captain. So. Ms. Kang?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Afro Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Listen, I reached out to you because I thought your story was compelling, and so many things are going on around you, and this story does not appear to quit. Other young ladies, young women that are physically fit, similar to yourself, they're experiencing a similar reaction. If you wouldn't mind, could you just walk story? What exactly happened here? Why all the visceral, the anger towards you? What's going on?
Well, it started a year ago when I posted a photo of me and my three sons, ages 3, 2, and 8 months at the time, with the caption, "What's your excuse?" And I was in really good shape. I just had a baby, 8 months prior, and I was able to make my health a priority and look great after having three kids in 3 years. So I posted that on my personal fitness page for my followers, and it went viral, and it reached a lot of people, and it reached a lot of people who didn't want to see the message. And so I got a lot of backlash. I received a lot of hate mail, people saying that I'm a bad mother for taking care of myself, thinking that it requires, you know, all day at the gym, or, you know, that I don't do anything but look at myself in the mirror, I guess. A lot of people said I was a bad person, a bad mom, even a bad, you know, just a bad role model in general. And I thought that was really interesting considering, you know, here I am, I'm an everyday working mother, and I thought that that's something that should be celebrated. You know, I follow the rules, I work out, I'm not obsessive. I just gained the right amount of pregnancy weight, and I got it off in 8 months, and that's usually what happens if you're a healthy person. But I realized that because we live in such an unhealthy society, people who are fit and healthy are kind of abnormal. They don't see that as regular anymore. What's regular is being overweight. And so coming off of that whole media blitz of being blasted for being healthy, I saw an article a couple weeks ago of overweight, nearly obese woman posing in lingerie, saying this is how real women, real beauty look like. And I was a little bit peeved because, you know, I see a lot of body acceptance campaigns all the time. I think anyone who has a social media account can see some overweight person in a next to nothing outfit saying, I'm proud of my body, and a lot of people after that saying, you go, girl, and you'd be proud of that, and you know, you'd be happy with who you are and how you look. And I think that's great, but I think we're sending the wrong message considering we're dealing with an obesity crisis in America. So I think we're living a very backwards, you know, period in our society with who we're celebrating and who we're vilifying.
Wow. I will say that, again, I thought that your story was compelling because it seems to – well, first of all, here at the show, the reason why it's called Afro Nerd, because we're trying to debunk stereotypes, and we're also about dealing with political correctness. So it appears that what you were doing, you were talking straight, being honest, and that seems to be something that – on a lot of different issues, not just weight, but it just seemed to resonate with me that I saw your story, I read what happened, I said, well, why is this a controversial thing? Wouldn't, you know, if you're obese or if you're having children, if you are concerned about your physical appearance, if you're concerned about your health, you work out, you try to have a respectable diet, and that's the end of it. Why is this? Mm-hmm. I mean, now
yeah,
we're
I think
seeing,
I guess I'm on the right show because I guess I'm. I know I'm not politically correct when I tell the truth. And what happened after I saw that that campaign for nearly obese women in lingerie is I said that, you know, this is nice, but we're walking a really fine line in our country. And I named off the stats. You know, 2/3 of us is overweight or obese. Our childhood obesity is rising with our, you know, our kids suffering from adult health-related diseases. We spend $3 trillion in healthcare. You know, and I said, you know, I think we need real role models to come out, everyday, average, working, healthy role models to come out and be, you know, representing health and fitness because we're in a crisis. And so I received 10,000, you know, likes and thousands of comments and shares, and I was banned from Facebook, you know, in 3 hours. My post was removed. I was told that I didn't comply to community standards, and if I continued posting as I was, that I would be permanently banned. So they said I wouldn't have access to my accounts for 12 hours, which ended up being nearly 3 days. I mean, talk about being politically correct. I mean, I honestly don't think there was any hate in my speech whatsoever, but somebody thought that it was very offensive, and you can't even talk about, you know, the crisis of obesity anymore, especially on a, you know, social media website.
I want to bring in my partner, my co-host. We call him Captain Kirk, obviously, again, the nerd thing, Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk, listen, we're speaking to Ms. Mariah King.
Maria.
Enthusiast, I'm sorry, pardon me, Maria King, fitness enthusiast, fit mom. I guess that's your title now. Captain Kirk is also a fitness enthusiast. Captain, I know you must have some thoughts about this. What are your thoughts about her treatment and the whole hubbub about telling folks that we have a weight problem and you have to deal with it? What's going on here?
All right. I'm going to make a statement here. Now, I can understand there's a difference between a woman, let's say, that's 5'7", 140 pounds, and she has curves, versus the model look that's 5'10", and 100 pounds. Okay, that's one thing. All right? I prefer the 5'7", 140 with curves versus a model. But now, if you're 5'7", and you're 300 pounds, you're fat. I said it. I don't care what anyone says. There's nothing to talk about. Forget about political correctiveness. All right? That's the reality of the situation. And the thing in this society here, we have a tendency to make now, and it has become the norm, the negative the positive and the positive the negative.
Yeah.
We have the high school dropout. You're making that cool, the popular person, versus the highly educated person who has the master's or the doctorate. It doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness. And you're more or less coming in that vein saying that this person here, this, it's like the same thing, the person with the master's or the doctorate, this is the vein that you should be coming in if you can't achieve this. This high school dropout is really not cool. Let's get off of that. We can all improve. That's really just the vein that you're coming in. So I'm channeling what you're saying 100%. I'm right there with you.
And I agree with you. I think there's nothing wrong with curves. I love curves. The problem is that people are redefining what curvy means now. It's not about having a nice curvy hourglass shape. It means a lot of curves. And I think that we're not being very fair to Marilyn Monroe and Sophia Loren and maybe some of the other women that are just voluptuous and have curves. Right now they're saying, I have curves and I'm 300 pounds and you know, and I'm beautiful. And I think that you need to feel beautiful, you know, to want to nurture your body and take care of it. But the problem that we're walking right now and what I talked about on my website is that, you know, there's a difference between love and accept yourself. But when you do that, you create a level of complacency. You know, what makes you want to change if everyone's saying you're okay with where you're at? I mean, a recent study showed that 1 in 4 overweight women think that they're actually thin because they're around people who say, you know, you're fine the way you look. And, you know, someone who's of average weight these days are now considered thin, and people who are overweight are considered normal, and people who are obese are now considered a little overweight. That's where our society is right now.
Amazing. I tell you something I found offensive. I want you to weigh in on this, Ms. Kang. It comes off as if now someone who is morbidly obese is considering themselves to be a protected class. In other words,
yes.
They're saying that you are conducting hate speech, and they're trying to equate someone who's obese to someone who's a minority, someone who's a woman, someone who's gay, or what have you. Do you see that happening now? Where you now, because of the backlash that you received, you can't critique a person based on their weight because that heavyset person is now akin to someone who is a minority or someone who is whatever. Do you think that's happening now?
I mean, definitely. I think that we are the minority. Healthy people are less than 20, you know, a quarter of the nation right now. I mean, I experienced that with my What's Your Excuse photo that went viral. Everyone said that I was bullying, and I didn't even direct that on anyone. I mean, of course, if I was posting that picture on, you know, fat acceptance sites and maybe breast cancer sites, maybe that's bullying, but it was towards my fitness followers. I think people were really bullying me and saying, you know, who are you? And, you know, what do you, you know, you're saying I need to look like you and really putting me down and making me, trying to make me feel bad as a person, which it didn't go very far because I have a very thick skin. But I do think that we're walking, we're just in a different society right now, and I'm surprised how backwards we are. I think we need to celebrate people who work hard, who have dedication and discipline, but I feel like we're celebrating mediocrity these days. You know, we don't want to raise people up, we just want to bring everyone down to their level.
Now, your site is mariakang.com. What would you suggest to tell these women? And is it only a women's issue? I mean, are you getting vitriol from men, or does it seem to be mostly veering
mostly
toward
women?
Definitely
mostly
women. So what would you suggest that they do? What would you tell someone if you're trying to lose weight? What would you think? What would they prefer you do? What would they prefer that you do? How would they want you to give out this message? Or do they want you to not give out the message at all?
They think that I need to be more coddling. They think I need to coddle them a little bit more, handhold them, be more empathetic, you know, be compassionate. And I am. I'm very encouraging if you go to my website, you'll see that I am. But you know, I also am very, I'm a very blunt person. I don't circle around the issue. I really tell people how it is. I think you're a lovely person. You got great personality, but you do have a weight issue, and we need to fix that. And some people don't want to hear that. And some people want to, you know, and I also say, you know, what is your excuse, too? And some people aren't ready for that either. People want to hide behind whatever excuse that they have, and I'm not saying that your excuse is invalid, and I'm not saying that it's not hard. I'm telling you right now that it is hard, but I'm going to tell you that it is worth it, too, because your body is the only thing that you own in this world. So for those people that, you know, really want me to handhold them and coddle them, you know, there's different people for different folks, and I'm not the type of person that's like that. You know, I know what's made me successful in life, and it's by being a little bit tough, being a little bit harder on myself, you know, working towards a level of greatness that is, you know, bigger than what I think I can achieve. And it's because people are really honest with me and I didn't hide behind excuses.
You know, I will say this. I do find that some of, having worked in corporate America, I have, of course, you come across folks of, from different backgrounds and different body types, so you will come across someone who is obese or heavyset. I find it odd that if you were to go to their office or to their cubicle, especially a heavyset woman, oftentimes they may have a picture of the most physically fit male.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can someone explain that to me? That the obese woman will look toward the buff male as someone to admire. But if being a heavy set was okay, then why not have a picture of an obese man on your desk? They do look to physical fitness. They do look to physical fitness admiringly for the opposite sex. So I'm kind of confused on that. What is that about?
You know, most recently a lot of people are giving me a lot of flack because I said you can tell when somebody is not healthy. And I think I could tell, you know, if you have excess body fat in your belly area, that's a sign that you have, there's an indicator that you could suffer from, you know, heart disease. And if you're 100 pounds, obviously, overweight, that's a huge indicator too. But people don't like it when I focus on looks. Because there's a huge body image issue that we have in America, and that's a very real thing. You know, a lot of people do have a really bad negative image of themselves, especially with what's out there in the media. So women don't really like to talk about, you know, their body and their body image and looks. And I was recently quoted on an Australia television station saying, you know, looks do matter. And I was chastised, you know, for that because I said that. But, you know, in all honesty, it is true, and nobody wants to say what's truth. The truth is that we're a very visual society, and that the looks, your appearance, how you outwardly present yourself does in fact matter. As much as feminist groups and other people want to say that it doesn't and don't look at that, the truth is that my husband is happier because I take care of myself, you know. I think my kids are happy when I'm healthier, and I'm happier when I feel good. And if I look good in the process, which you will look good if you take care of your health, and you'll feel good, then that should be something that should be applauded. So it's easier to look at men and not desire a healthy looking man. But when you talk about a woman's body, it's something you really cannot discuss because it's become so politicized. You don't want to touch that subject, which is why I'm in this mess that I'm in.
Captain, you have a question?
Okay. I would say, I make a statement, then here goes the question along with it. I would say looks matter, money matters, these things matter. Definitely does matter if you're being truthful, to a certain extent anyway. Might not be the total deciding factor, but it definitely matters. Now, how much does Hollywood, the images that Hollywood put out there via television and the theatrical, play into this whole look thing, in your opinion? Just want you to expound upon that, if you do have an opinion pertaining to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did actually put that in the deleted post. I said, we're celebrating, like, for example, the celebrity who, after 6 weeks, looks amazing after birth. I mean, she's on magazine covers. Everyone's buying it. Everyone loves it. And yet here I am, 8 months after giving birth, and everyone's upset and up in arms about me. I felt like, you know, here we are, we're so backwards. You know, we're idolizing celebrity, but we're villainizing the real person. And it's because I think that my image really breaks their glass house. They think that it's impossible. They think it's impossible without a personal trainer, without a nanny, the fact that I'm working, you know, that I could be their next door neighbor. It pisses them off because I have similar excuses that they have, and I was able to overcome it. So I think that celebrity worship, you know, the celebrity beauty does affect us, but I feel like people are so, there's such a divide, you know, they seem so far off that we can't really relate to them, so we don't really think about it, but because I'm so relatable, that makes people even more pissed off. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's a good point.
Definitely. Yeah. One last question. Do you find that you might be getting into somewhat of a sisterhood with other women? There seems to be your case and a few other fitness women that are getting similar treatment. Have they reached out to you? I think there's a woman that 4 days after she gave birth, she showed her abdomen, and she's going through the rails also. Have they reached out to you as well? Has there been some kind of?
There's been some comparison, but to me, honestly, she's like an anomaly. I've never seen any woman look that amazing 4 days after giving birth. I didn't look that great, and I even posted my 1 week after pictures. You know, because the truth is that right there, that's genetic. I will say that's genetic. That genetic means you got something without doing much. Of course, I'm sure she ate right during her pregnancy and she worked out, and that's great. But to look that amazing after birth without doing much, that's genetic. Now, when people say that it's all genetic for me, I wish I looked the way I did while eating McDonald's and sitting on my butt watching X Factor every night. And I can't do that. You know, that would be genetic. No, I work out hard, you know, every, you know, 5 to 6 days a week. I eat very clean. So, you know, she and I are different. I think that the stories are similar, but it's very different stories. She is, you know, wife of a very wealthy person. You know, she has a very public persona. I didn't. So, but I do think that, again, we're talking about body image and women's issues. So that's what makes us similar, and how it's, you know, who we are is perpetuating an ideal in society. But in generally, we're very different people. You know, I come from a place of I had to really work my butt off, and, you know, and here I am 8 months after giving birth. I'm not, you know, genetically really inclined to look this great, whatever. But, no, she hasn't reached out, so.
Okay.
Well, I must say this to you personally. Kudos to what you're doing. Continue to, they're using the term now, fat shaming. Continue to shame.
No, I don't think I'm shaming. That's just the thing is, if you read my stuff, I'm not shaming at all, but people take it that way. I'm just telling the truth.
Exactly.
And if the truth sounds like a shame, first off, let's talk about the word shame. Shame means that there's a level of guilt inside of you. I can't create something if it wasn't there already. So all I'm trying to do is encourage, and you'll see that in any of my posts. If anyone feels shameful, it's because you felt that way, you know. Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. So I'm not going to fat shame. I'm not a shamer. I'm just going to keep on encouraging people, and I think people will eventually see my light and how I'm trying to bring light to other people.
Well
and
said.
Listen, you have three sons, so you have to be in shape to chase after those young men. So I think that, again, commendable. And we do what we do here. They call it shaming on us, too. When you just ask for corrective behavior, when you ask for correction, they're going to call it shaming. So, you like you said, you have thick skin. You'll get used to it. Good luck to you. We appreciate you coming through. And if something else comes up, anything else to promote, feel free to contact us, and we'll definitely help you promote it. Again,
thanks.
Folks, that was
have a good day.
Ms.
Bye.
Maria King. Folks, that was Maria King. You can go to mariaking.com, excuse me. And listen, we had her on because, listen, we talk about the gym ourselves. I'm supposed to be, I will admit, this is supposed to be the day that I go to the gym, but I wanted to speak with her. So I'm taking a break today, but I go tomorrow, and the captain knows that. The captain lives in a gym, so that goes without saying. But I thought that the way she was treated, and then he used a term like shaming, so you can't tell people the truth anymore, and it gets interpreted that way? Really?
disgusting.
So now fat people are like black folk or Hispanic folk or gay people. They're on that same thing.
Protective class.
It's a protected class. They're a protected class. All right, Captain,
Hold on, one thing. Did you see who the new Wonder Woman is?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay, that's all. All right, let's go to the groove.
Wait, go ahead. Start. Go into it for me. I gotta find a groove. Go into it. Is her name Godot? She's from the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yes. There you go. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but I did send you the email because I thought you would get a kick out of it when you saw it, you know, in case you didn't get to see it earlier.
Someone sent an instant message to me earlier today. When you're part of the geek community, something like that gets to you quick, as fast as the Flash, who I think makes an appearance tonight, actually, on Arrow, incidentally.
All right,
folks, let's go to a quick groove. We are in the holiday season, so I'm going to play a quick groove, courtesy of OKPlayer.com, the Roots official website, OKPlayer.com. This is This Christmas, D-I-S, This Christmas by Black Spade. We'll be back in a few moments, and again, let's groove.
Yeah.
Once again, giving the best of urban alternative groove. That was Black Spade, This Christmas. This Christmas, free download, courtesy of OKPlayer.com. You know, that's the Roots official website, so definitely check it out. Folks, there's a lot of places to get good music besides just listening to us and continue to do that. But Afropunk.com, and actually, as a reminder, we are expecting two official members of the Afropunk squad Jocelyn Cooper and Matthew, what's the gentleman's name? I think her paramour. I'm sorry, I'll get that information in a moment. But Jocelyn Cooper is the face of Afropunk, essentially. She runs it. So she's coming through next Wednesday. So we're going to have a real fun show, because I want to talk all about where the music is going and how we are to divest ourselves from commercial minstrel hip-hop. I can't take it. Anyway, that last cut, again, this Christmas, Black Spade. The call-in number, as always, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Definitely had a good time speaking with Ms. Maria Kang. Definitely check out mariakang.com. First of all, she's not hard in the eyes. So that's, my reptilian senses wanted to speak with her on one level. But also because I like what she said. I didn't see what she said was so controversial. I said, anytime you speak truth to power, and they said what she was doing was hate speech, telling folks that you might want to eat healthy, you might want to exercise, that it's possible, there's no excuses, that's hate speech. Folks, again, think about this. We do it all the time for other issues, but for weight, now for issues of weight and health. If you tell someone the truth, you're hurting me, you're shaming me. You see why I contacted this young lady. You see why. There's a theme or a meme. All right, getting back into the fold, I want to shed some light on something that's going on tonight, actually, quietly. Captain, we mentioned this. I think I spoke with you about this behind the scenes. Actor/comedic actor, Michael Richards. We're going to talk about Spike Lee's Old Boy after this, but I know you want to talk about Old Boy. But I want to talk about this first while it's fresh in my mind. And I want to start something, like Michael Jackson. I want to be starting something. I want to start something, Captain, because Michael Richards, his infamous rant. Fortunately, I didn't have enough time to get the audio on that, but you can go to YouTube and look at this thing. About 6 years ago, time flies. 6 years ago, he got into a hubbub because he was trying or venturing into doing a stand-up act. And he's working things out, as what they say in the industry, when you, go to a small club and you present your comedic act, you present your comedic routine. So he was being heckled by African-American hecklers. The entire club is not full of African-Americans. It was, I think, two or three guys. This happens. It's par for the course. This is what happens when you work it out. Chris Rock has gotten heckled. People get heckled, especially in that environment when you're trying to work out your material. Anyway, he gets heckled, and he could have easily been heckled by any racial demographic, because that's what happens when you do this kind of thing. He, thin-skinned, whatever you want to call it, he goes in, as they say on the street. He blacked out, as they say on the street, and he used the N-word, he used the nigger, not the nigga pronunciation, and he went even deeper than that. I think the N-word would have been enough. I don't think folks understand. I wish I might even have the audio from way back on the boards. Maybe I have. I'll have to do a search. I might have had it from when it occurred. But anyway, for him to go in the way that he did, beyond just using the term nigger, not nigga, he talked about we used to put your people on stakes, on pitchforks, something to that analogy. We used to put your people on stakes. I mean, he went into a real visceral racial rant where you're talking about his hatred was abject, where it could have been done by a Klansman. So now he's on TV tonight. Kirstie Alley, speaking about someone who lost weight, Kirstie Alley, Rhea Perlman, who was her colleague on Cheers years ago, and now Michael Richard, They're on TV Land. I believe TV Land has new programming. They have a new show. Now, I found this odd. Well, I shouldn't say odd. It's not odd. I find that this is disturbing to me. I want the captain to weigh in. I'll go deeper. But I will say this. On repeat, and it will continue to be on repeat, I talk about minstrelsy. I talk about coonery. I talk about this low standard of black entertainment that is a sliver of the entertainment that could be out here, that is out here. There's a higher form of black entertainment that we're not seeing enough of. It used to be very common in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, dare I say 80s when The Cosby Show was airing, and even early 90s with The Cosby Show and other programming that was out there, not so reality-based, but there was respectful black programming. When you think about Sidney Poitier and Raymond St. Jacques and early Bill Cosby, not even just late Bill Cosby. I can go on and on. Harry Belafonte, Ruby Dee, Ozzie Davis. It's just plentiful, respectful, classy black programming. And where we are today, we have allowed the minstrels in the building. And with minstrelsy comes an acceptance. We've gotten to the point, going back to what even Ms. King was talking about, we've accepted failure. Failure is common, is acceptable. So what happens is when you accept nigga on wax as some kind of black Tourette's, and that's what it is, you have no leg to stand on. Now all that is required is if you get into some kind of racial hubbub, shouting out Paula Deen, you just wait it out. You just wait it out. So now he waited it out. He's back on TV. Now, there's another ethnic group. I don't really see that. I'll go into that. You know where I'm going, but I want to give the floor, the mic to the captain. But this is a precedent that I'm seeing now, that you can insult people of color, specifically black folk, and you just wait it out. Where I think many years ago, that was not an option. And this is the danger zone of allowing mediocrity, allowing rampant minstrelsy, allowing the ambiguity of the N-word. Because now the N-word is an ambiguous word. Remember that. It is an ambiguous word now. Previously, it was not an ambiguous word. Other ethnic groups do not have that ambiguity. So when something goes down like this, that person is shut down. Not with black folk. Shouting out Imus, Don Imus. He's still working, still collecting a check. He waited it out. Captain, what are your thoughts? And I'll expound even further.
Well, the modus operandi with dealing with black people when you make racist statements towards them is to essentially wait it out. We have Mark Furman, who was branded a racist. MSNBC and a few others bring him back in after a period of time as being an analyst on different shows from time to time. That's all right. You see what happened with Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall didn't do anything to the Jewish people directly. He didn't say anything. But far as they're concerned, by bringing Farrakhan on his show, which is really their show because they give you the opportunity, they shut Arsenio Hall down. And recently, Arsenio Hall was able to come back to television to show you the power, show you the difference. So the modus operandi for you black people is just yuck, 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 shucking and jiving. You're not serious. Just go ahead. They'll forget about it in a little while and let everything pass. That's how you do things. And in the modern-day era, in 2013, when white people, whether they're Jewish or not, they get out of line
you want to give them a pass on everything. No one gives you a pass, but you want to give them a pass because that's where your head is, because you're not serious. You understand? And you want to make aberrant behavior the normal. You turn things upside down. You don't like being polished. You like the negative aspect, and you like to make that the norm. So if that's going to be the norm, niggah versus nigger, if that's going to be the norm, why does anybody have to take you serious? If you don't respect yourself, how is anybody else going to respect you? So this is the way forward for us at this given time until there is a radical change. And that's all I'm going to say on it. I want AfroNerd to expound upon it some more. Take the floor, AfroNerd.
Yes, one quick thing. You know, I just shouted out AfroPunk. Matthew Morgan and Jocelyn Cooper are expected next Wednesday at 8 o'clock, folks. We're having a later show, 8 o'clock Wednesday, with the representatives of AfroPunk. AfroPunk 2014 is forthcoming. There's been feelers that the NPG, His Royal Badness, may show up for one of these things. So we're working hard. A friend of the show, his former partner, former bassist, Andre Simone, we're working on and behind the scenes to be a part of this thing. So this could be a really big thing. So I have my fingers crossed. So anyway, we'll get into that. But again, next Wednesday, 8 o'clock, folks, AfroPunk discussion with these great representatives. All right, going back again into this matter with Mr. Richards, and then we'll go on to the next thing. Captain, you know, you've mentioned our Jewish friends, and I have great respect for their lack of ambiguity. They're not, and I say that not to be so general, because you should not speak in the general, but I will say, for the most part, my impressions, and this is out of respect, it appears that they are far more aggressive, appearances more aggressive when it comes down to notions of disrespect. There's no ambiguity. There's no cloudiness. I don't know what they meant. Maybe they meant something else. We're trying to find some out. Mel Gibson is persona non grata. This man was at the top of his game, not only as a director, but as an actor. He came out once and said something funky toward those of Jewish descent, and he had to do a major mea culpa tour. He did it again. It's done. I've seen interviews with folks who were Jewish, and when his name came up, it was like, nope. Matter of fact, if he got a gig, folks, I'm not working with this guy. And they had to let him go. Now, this is Mel Gibson. I don't think people said how big Mel Gibson was in the industry. I mean, someone who's structurally a part of the business. But he said something untoward, Jewish people, and it was over. It was over, and as it should be. And I also think about Nazi war criminals. You hear on occasion Nazi war criminals, the few that are still living. Or maybe they're not so few. We don't know. But there are a few that are living that are well into their 90s. Some of these men are closing in on 100. If the Jewish folk find you at 105, folks, at 105, your behind has to be prosecuted, adjudicated, and off to jail with you. They're not cutting you any slack because you're an older person. You're elderly, or even in this case, super elderly. And that has to be respected. You were responsible, directly or indirectly, with the death of folks in these camps, these death camps. You have to go. There's no ambiguity. And that is to be respected. You are shut down. But I find it odd. Dog the Bounty Hunter, he said something crazy. His son was dating a woman of color. he said something in a private conversation, maybe 6 months, ended up getting a shot. I think he's still on the air now. Don Imus, Reverend Shockton gave him a tough talking to. Still ended up getting a seven-figure deal. He's still making money, still getting checks, folks. So all I'm saying is that there has been a price that we are currently paying for the ambiguity and for the minstrelsy that now you are seeing the chickens are coming home to roost toward you. You. They'll wait it out, and I guarantee, because there's a precedent now, Paula Deen will be back on TV. She's not going to be losing out completely. And oh yeah, one more thing. I see we have a call. We'll open up the lines. One other thing. I always try to edify our audience. You know, when Michael Richards, I alluded to this before, Captain. Michael Richards just didn't say the N-word, as if that wouldn't be bad enough. He just didn't say it. He went into a whole slave torture rant. We used to put you people up on pitchforks. Now, within the last couple of weeks, even till today, I find myself doing more research on slavery. I never said, I will tell our audience, it's not about victimization. You don't want to get into a whole victimization mode. I don't think we should shy away from slavery. I think you should do the research, just like Jewish folk, Native Americans, any group of people or ethnicity that has been historically harmed. I think you should be fully aware, fully conscious of exactly what has been done to you historically. Know the history. And there's something I came across. So you understand that it's deeper than just the N-word. You can't just throw out slave torture and think it's a small thing. There was a form of slave torture. I believe the person that initiated the slave torture, his name was Thomas Thistlewood. I'm not sure of the first name, but I know the last name, the surname is Thistle, with T-H, Thistlewood. And he practiced a type of torture pronounced in the Caribbean that if a slave was found to have committed some infraction, and it could have been anything. Slavery, you could be breathing and you were getting whipped. So let's say you were caught stealing some sugar cane or something innocuous. He would not only beat the slave with lashes and would put all kinds of weird things on the back, weird salves on the back, elaborate salt concoction. So mind you, your back is ripped, your flesh is ripped, and you're putting pepper and salt on the back and all kinds of weird astringents. As if that isn't enough. That would be hellish. Folks, prepare yourself. I'm going to try to say this as delicately as I can. This form of torture was known as Derby's Dose. As a Derby the Hat, Derby's Dose. You can look this up. Derby's Dose. Thistlewood would command another slave. This is crazy, folks. Command another slave to defecate in the mouth of the slave that was being punished. Defecate in the mouth, and then put a contraption that would wire the mouth shut with the other slave's feces and keep it wired for maybe 4 or 5 hours. That was a form of torture during slavery called Derby's Dose. Now, I missed that because this is going into the kind of rant that Michael Richards went into that goes even beyond the N-word, ladies and gentlemen, because I want to start something. I want to be starting something. I want you to understand, this man went into that kind of rant, a Derby's Dose rant. Now he's on TV. He's on TV. So continue to clown and be a minstrel, coon, and now it's Derby's Dose. That's all. Look it up. Look it up. Let's go to the phones.
Hold on. Hold on. I just want to add one thing before we go to the line. Because people will say, well, the Jewish community definitely has power, and a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of the time, or maybe even most of the time, they are the gatekeepers. So they respond in that fashion. Regardless or not, we can still stand a lot stronger, minus the ambiguity, as AfroNerd said. And if we stand that way, we get respected a lot better. That's all. That's all.
Listen, I would agree with you, but this is what I have to say, and then we go to the phones. Thank God for YouTube. Again, I've been doing the research. Go to YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, and simply put in Eyes on the Prize. Now, Eyes on the Prize, famed PBS special, under normal circumstances would not be available. I think PBS stopped showing this special, and it costs a lot of money because it's being geared towards educational access. Like if it's a deal with a college level or maybe even high school level, you might have access to getting this multiple part series. I think it's maybe a 15 part series. So I just happened to check out a couple of episodes on YouTube as a reminder. And when you see how we were 20, 25, 30, 40 years ago, less ambiguity, people were listening, a lot of power, a lot of access. 20 years ago, Captain, 40 years ago, I think we're at a different level now. You did not see the level of minstrelsy, and there was no ambiguity about that word. We've gone into a different generation. We're two or three generations past that now. Now you have young folks that have made this acceptable. They have commodified it. So now we've lessened our ability to leverage and claim harm when you use it as a form of Tourette's on wax every day. And you have young folk that insist it means something different. And they become surgeons in differentiating between nigger versus nigger, which is absolute lunacy. So because of this new world order that we are in now, we were on track, not unlike our Jewish brethren 40 years ago, at combating some of this nonsense. We were not happy. If you saw some of the Black Power footage and how black folk were speaking, I think folks have to reacquaint themselves with Eyes on the Prize, go to YouTube, and take a hard look at a unified black folk where there was less ambiguity. That there were no niggas back then. People accepting it and throwing it down your throat. There was a point, I don't think we mentioned this, there was a point where someone did some offshoot branding of the Knicks. You heard about this, the New York Knicks? Someone tried to put out a T-shirt that renamed the New York Knicks something else. You know what it was, folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this thing was selling like hotcakes. You can guess who were the main patrons of that. And I sincerely doubt they were white people. For the Black Power movement would not have worn T-shirts with the New York Knickerbockers with something else on there. It's a different world order. I'm not giving these minstrels a pass. We saw what Django did. Django took out the minstrel and the white racist simultaneously, and that's what we're aiming to do here. Let's go to the phones. 201, welcome to AfroNerd. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Hey, guys, this is Q Star. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes, perfectly.
Q.
Welcome, man. Welcome. Okay. Nice to hear from you.
Yes. I had to pull over. I was checking in my hotel, and I was like, okay, I got to get in on this topic, so I had to pull over and take a minute. I just want to say real quick for the record that what Michael Richards said after he threw out the N-word was, I think it was, 200 years ago, we would have had you hanging in the trees with a fork up your ass. That's what he, I believe that's what exactly what he said. Now, having said that,
well, you get the gist. You get the gist.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, yeah. I think what he said was reprehensible, and I am a huge Seinfeld fan. I have an entire series on Box Night on DVD. And here's the thing. I mean, you were speaking about our Jewish brethren and how they tend not to give people a pass, and you used Mel Gibson as an example. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I remember back in 1995 or 94 or somewhere thereabouts, when Michael Jackson got into a huge tiff with the Jewish community with his They Don't Care About Us song.
Yeah.
And, you know, what he did was he kneeled at the altar of penance. He had a meeting with one of the higher echelons of rabbis. I don't know the gentleman's name, and all was forgiven. And in the same sense, you know, it wasn't like we just gave Michael Richards a pass. He had to go and kneel at the altar of Al Sharpton. I'm not saying it wasn't a circus show, but what I'm saying is that it's not like we just gave him a pass. And I would say this. I mean, who are we really upset with? Are we upset with Michael Richards for using the N-word? Are we upset with Don Imus for using the N-word? And you yourself have said that, or maybe it was Michael Carroll, I forget who, but someone made the point that we really should apologize to these two people because we use the word every day. I mean, I have much more of a problem with Lil Wayne defiling Emmett Till. I have much more of a problem with Rick Ross defiling our young black sisters with that rape song, and having our young black sisters sing that song while at a institutional higher learning than I do with Michael Richards. I don't expect anything from Michael Richards. He's a funny guy on Seinfeld. His career's probably done. I don't expect anything from him. But I'm not going to waste my time spewing vitriol towards him. We need to clean up our act. We need to focus on that. And that's where my efforts will go.
Well, Q, listen, that's what
I'm saying. Did you see Django? Did you see Django? That's what he said, Django. You take out the menstrual and you take out the racist. Take out both of them. That's what he said.
One can't go without the other, Q. What I'm saying, I thought I was pretty clear. First of all, I'm a big Seinfeld fan. Heck, the captain recently dubbed me Blackfeld because I have certain aspects like Jerry Seinfeld. So he calls me, behind the scenes, I'm called Blackfeld. You know, man hands, looking at women's man hands, stuff like that. I mean, I'm very much into the Seinfeld mythology. And it really angered me because Kramer was a beloved character. But Michael Richards, when he went into a Derby's Dose type of rant, it goes beyond the pale. You know, like you said, and thank you for the clarification, he went into, went beyond the N-word, but went into lynching talk and into Derby's Dose-like talk. And that's slave torture is abject hatred, and it doesn't go away. We know how you really feel now. It doesn't go away. And he has a career. He's still able to collect a check, and it seems like he just has to wait it out. And what I said was that not so much about him, it's about the fact that we've allowed a cultural standard that leads to ambiguity. 20 years ago, there was no ambiguity about the N-word. There wasn't. Now you have people that are buying T-shirts and making, you know, like you said, Lil Wayne, every rapper, every commercial rapper. And this goes back now. I said, I think, in an earlier broadcast, in one of our earlier shows, when the Don Imus affair went down, I thought he should have been let go because really what he said was of a lesser offense. When, you know, if we're not going to pull him to the carpet and have Snoop Dogg and have Lil Wayne and have 50 Cent, I found it odd that Reverend Sharpton, if you remember with that episode, that spectacle, he had him on his radio show and berated him. If you're going to berate him, why don't you berate the minstrels then? We haven't seen that to this day. They've gotten that pass, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you to a certain extent. I'm saying let's go after the minstrels. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is using that same setup where we were saying, where it was said that, you know, we can't really jump on Don Imus defiling out black women. We can't really call out Michael Richards for using the N-word when we use it every day. So is it kind of a double
standard? What I'm saying is I'm really calling out black folks to say, look what's happening here. Look what's going on. My thing is I'm calling to arms. Michael, I'm calling black people to look at what's going on. Michael Richards went beyond. We keep on saying it's the N-word. No, it's even deeper than him saying the N-word. It's even deeper than that. It's deeper than what even, it goes into, Paula Deen went deeper into slave lore. You know, people seem to think that it stops at the N-word. It goes into longing for the times past. He talked about slave torture on top of calling you a nigger. That's got to count for something. I'm just saying that it appears that if you insult black folk culturally, that you just wait it out. And part of it has to do with the fact that we, being tribal, have become so lax that we do not know where the line of disrespect is. We don't know where it is anymore because you have young people that will spout this over and over and over again consistently. As a matter of fact, there's another – I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'll turn to the floor. I just want to say this real quick thing, and I'll turn to the floor. I don't necessarily disagree with anything you're saying. This is just an open forum of thought and debate. But I would I think there's a lot of power in the two words, I'm sorry. I mean, we can never tell if someone really means that authentically, but I think if you never have forgiveness, if someone makes the step for penance and they say, I'm sorry, we don't know if they mean it, but if you rob someone who's done a wrong to you of their means of eating, of surviving, of making a living, then you just have both sides just angry at each other, and that conversation never takes place. So that's my position. I don't disagree with anything you said, but I think at some point forgiveness has to play a part in having that overall conversation about race that we always seem to have a problem in this country. And I'll pass it over to you.
Listen, if I said to some Jewish friends, if I made some reference to the K word and I said we used to roast you in ovens, do you think they would want to forgive me? Really? Do you think they would honestly let that slide? I don't think so. And rightfully so. Sometimes you got to flip it. If I said that about Jewish folk, they would not let that slide. Some things are just beyond the pale. I can't have the excuse where I had a moment. No, they would tell me, you are an anti-Semite. You didn't misspeak. You went into how you really feel. So I think we deserve the same courtesy. I'm just telling folks to look out of all ethnicities to look and say, to see that quietly, Michael Richards has returned back to television, and because of our own minstrelsy and ambiguity, we don't care. It's just another day. And we will continue to see more disrespect because people know now, wait it out. Paula Deen will be returning to television real soon. She just has to wait it out. And millions of dollars will be going toward her way once again. All right, listen, as always, Q, appreciate it. Just a food for thought. I just want to start something. I do that sometimes. I want to start something. I want to see where this goes. All right, listen, Cass, let's go to a quick groove. We do what we do here. Speaking of Mr. Simone, Andre Simone, former bassist for Prince, let's go to one of his jams. This is America, New Cut. We'll be back in a few moments, and again, let's groove.
Gorgeous part of you.
Okay, folks, once again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afternoon Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternoon Radio. That was Minneapolis's own, I had to get it out at one point, Andre Simone, America, America. Hopefully we'll see him at Afropunk 2014. I'm really crossing my fingers on that. I had a brief conversation with Mr. Simone via direct message at my Twitter account, and I think he has some new music that he wants to give us, Captain. So I said, you know, when it's ready, just send it over and we'll play it. So, you know, we'll see what happens, and hopefully when we speak to Ms. Cooper and Mr. Morgan, that they can give us an insight as to who might be appearing for this coming year's Afropunk Festival. So it would be a highlight of mine to, A, be able to introduce Mr. Simone to the audience, because I'm working on that, and if his childhood friend, Mr. Prince Rogers Nelson, makes an appearance on the same venue, you know, you think my head is big now, Captain. It's going to be a war zone when I get back to the mic. So it is what it is. All right. Captain, you left a message for me in some kind of weird, I don't want to call it gleeful. I don't want to say you were gleeful. But this old boy thing, Mr. Lee's old boy, it's a bomb. And I don't usually use that term so succinctly. But I have yet to see the original South Korean cult film, Old Boy, came out exactly 10 years ago, I think 2003. I have the box set, and I just haven't had the time to sit down, but I'm aware that it's supposed to be a great film. That, talk about a comic book movie, it's a South Korean film, the original one, based on the Japanese manga. So it's, in essence, it's based on a comic book, Japanese style. The original film. And I thought that, you know, Spike Lee's had difficulties as of late. He's in the news over the Zimmerman affair. You know, he's done some high-profile things. He's been labeled a race man, maybe rightfully so. I was a big, big, big Spike Lee supporter, especially in the 90s. But this time around, you know, his rants against Quentin Tarantino for a film that he did not see, talking about Django. So now we're hearing that this film cost about $30 million. He's doing the remake reboot, the Americanized, anglicized version of Old Boy. And it cost $30 million, which isn't a lot in today's market. Josh Brolin is the lead character. And it made barely, what, $1 million last week, Thanksgiving weekend? You know, which is a notoriously long weekend. It's a time where you know, if you're going to do it right, you do it on a Thanksgiving weekend. What happened here, Captain? $1.4 million? $30 million in the hole? You know, I hate for Spike to go out like this. I really wish him success. I want more. You know, he's the father of modern black cinema, so to speak, of modern black cinema. He's no Oscar B. Show, but 90s black cinema, he was the head of it, theoretically. Your thoughts?
Well, according to statistics, they said that it did $1.25 million at this given juncture in time. But here's the thing, what we have to realize. It was not released on, let's say, 3,000 theaters, like a Thor movie or something like that. It was released in 583 theaters. That changes the dynamics as far as the numbers that they expect to get if they feel your movie is going to do well. What does that mean? He needed to do numbers at about 6 million or 5.5 million, and then the following week they would have given him a much wider release. Because the numbers were not up to snuff, they in turn start to just say whatever, 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 and it just goes downhill from there. So that's what happened. It's not like it was out in 3,000 theaters. Okay, let's understand that. And that's the way they operated as far as this project is concerned. Now, the flop, I think, had a lot to do with the fact that it had his name attached to it. That's just my personal opinion. Because in 2013, directors have a following, whether it's Ridley Scott,
whether it's Christopher Nolan, whoever it might be. You know, you have, just as you finished talking about Quentin Tarantino, they have a following. Not as big as actors or actresses, but, you know, not as big as the actors, but they do have a following. So that helps a lot as far as these movies are concerned. And Spike Lee seems to be at this point right now, he's rather abrasive with the powers that be. He's rubbing them the wrong way, and to a certain extent, he's rubbing the audience the wrong way to a certain extent. As Afro-Nerd said, he was that man. You know, coming up with movies, Malcolm X, Do the Right Thing, She's Got to Have It, so on and so on. You know, he had some very good movies, some great movies. He was that man. He was that drug at one point. He's far removed from that. You know, he somewhat acts like, to a certain extent, that he is the individual, I did it already, nonchalant. But he's a nonchalant, and he's coming across like the angry black guy at this point. And in the 80s and in the 90s, the angry black guy actually worked for him, you know? But for some reason, just to me, he seems angrier now. I don't know, you know? So I think the flop had a lot to do with him. You attach a different director, I think they get those numbers, 5.5 million, 6 million. That's just me. You know, people see Spike Lee, now they go, oh, this guy here, I don't like him. It's an emotional decision now. You want people to like you to a certain extent, you know, to a certain extent. Now, people will say, well, you know, people don't necessarily like Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, but they do, though. They do. They say Quentin is an a-hole, but at the same time, they like Quentin at the same time. It's one of those type of things, love-hate relationships. Right now, Spike Lee is more or less, I just don't like this guy. You get a lot of that. You get that vibe, that type of spirit. So it's a little disappointing. I would love to see him do well. I want him to do well. I loved his movies. I think he's a great talent. He definitely is a talented director. You know, so, and I, you know, I don't wish bad upon him or anything like that. I want him to do very well. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, first, people fail to remember, or they might, I guess, they are forgetting, that early in Spike Lee's career, he was dubbed, I guess, the Black Woody Allen. You know, he's a short statured guy, bespectacled. So he does, one would say, he would favor a sepia toned Woody Allen. The problem is that Woody Allen, I'm not so sure of Woody Allen's financial success rate. I mean, he's able to consistently get funding for his films. They're rarely blockbusters. There's always a place for critical acclaim, which is a weird thing. Hollywood is always, 98% of the time, always interested in making money. Being in the black is very important for Hollywood. But they do set aside certain people, certain individuals, for critical acclaim. And Woody Allen seems to have that. Even he, talk about failings, moral failings, with him ultimately marrying his adopted daughter. But somehow, actors still want to work with him. It still has, there's still a great deal of cachet to say you were in a Woody Allen film. Now, interestingly enough, at some point, I think Spike Lee had that, where it was a tip of the hat to say I was in a Spike Lee film. But like you said, personality has actually caused a conflict with certain black folk. I think that we're in a precarious time, Captain, very precarious, where you see someone like Quentin Tarantino with his penchant for using the N-word. He is honorary. Rightfully or wrongfully, he has become honorary. Maybe not honorary, or maybe like honorary like Incognito. You know, there's a that's a double-edged sword when you attain honorary status. But I said it before, I love Django. Django was a love letter, a love note to the black community. and Spike Lee was insistent on dogging that film out and dogging out its creator. And black folk, I remember seeing quite a few folks of note saying to Spike, but Spike, did you see the film? It's really something special. He didn't want to hear it. So now, I think even among some black folk, he comes off like, you know, there he goes again. You know, he's just, Spike is out of the game. Even I had that a little bit. I will definitely get this on DVD. I'll tell you that much. I do want to see it. But I think he's Glee man, but his demeanor is not where it needs to be to sell a film. You know, maybe I hope he's not like M. Night Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan, now he's notorious because his films consistently have been bad.
Let's not put him there. Let's not put him there now.
You know, listen, he's on track. You have to make money for something. You know, he's not at that critical acclaim status. If we look at the numbers, if we look at the numbers for Woody Allen films, I wouldn't doubt that they're, you know, listen, in the 70s, some of his 70s work from the 70s work still holds up today. Different times back then, a movie would stay in the theater for a year and a half. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine? Didn't have multiplexes. You didn't have multiplexes back then. A movie would stay in a theater for a year at minimum. A good movie. They'll take a movie out off the scene in a couple of weeks. If you do 2 weeks, you could be taken out of the theaters. And old boy may be on track for that. And I think if anything, if the word out on it was good. The word out on 12 Years a Slave is very good. It's right around Oscar time. That movie's going to make its money. And $30 million is not a lot in this market, but Spike Lee, that personality, man, it's not a good one. It's unfortunate. All right, folks, we got about 3 minutes remaining. If you'd like, still sometime, not much, 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620, but we are pretty much ready to go. Saturday, I'm sorry, Captain?
I was going to say, let's couch this for Saturday, the Fast and Furious actress, Gal Gadot, for Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
let's
that's
couch
what I was getting
that
at.
For Saturday.
Saturday, we'll have to talk about this actress. I really wanted Jamie Alexander for that role. After seeing her performance and her physicality as Sif in Thor, and especially since it's all mythology, it's a very easy transition, one would say, to portray that character and going into Wonder Woman. Now we have this woman, she was Miss Israel, pardon me, I think a few years ago. She's in the Fast and Furious thing. She's not hard in the eyes. But I don't think she particularly has the physicality to be a Wonder Woman. She's going to put some muscle on, you would think. I'm not going to believe some waif is going to be tossing cars around like Superman.
What?
You know, they might as well have gone with Angelina Jolie then. They should have went there. I mean, come on.
She weighs 110 pounds. It's all right.
She's 110?
That's what she weighs, yeah.
Well, I know she's 5'9". She's the right height, but she's got to come in like what 135 muscled.
Yep.
As a woman, mm-hmm. I mean it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, listen. We will get into this. I assure you that Daryl B, the what's his tagline now? The uncanny.
Uncanny.
Yeah. The uncanny Daryl B will have his opinion on this. So I can't wait. All right. Giving you more black rock, Afro-punk, psychedelic soul. This is Do Nothing Wrong by Black Murda, MERDA. See you on Saturday, folks, 6 o'clock. It's been real. Thanks again.
She's treating me so bad. She don't deserve anything better. Death can't forget her. Death can't forget her. So I think I better leave her alone before I make up my mind to do something wrong. And I don't wanna do nothing wrong. Nothing wrong.